Today's daf, Be'ezrat Hashem, in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadi Dalid, and we're holding the Halakha Mishnah on daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beit. So, the Halakha Mishnah begins, HaMotzi Ochlin Pochot Mikishiva, it's right there on the bottom of the daf. So somebody is taking out less than the correct shiur, which is less than a grogeret of food, and he takes it out in this beautiful cup, or this beautiful bowl. He's putter even on the bowl, because hakli tfeilalo, the bowl doesn't have its own identity in this hotza'ah. The kli is there in order to support the ochlin, but the ochlin themselves don't have a shear. Therefore, the kli is also not going to be chayev. If somebody takes out a living person, and he carries the living person out in a bed, he's putter on the bed as well, because the living person you're not chayev on. Yaakov, please mute. The living person you're not chayev on for a fascinating reason. The Gemara calls this a chay noseh et atzmo, that a living person carries himself. So in other words, he will automatically adjust his weight in order to make it easier to balance him. And that he does just as a matter of instinct. He doesn't have to work on it. So Tosef says the obvious question, which is, who cares? What's the difference between Noseh et Atzmo? I mean, certainly, what's he helping? Is he making it lighter? Since when does heavy or light have anything to do with taking out things on Shabbos? And you could be chayiv for the slightest thing. It doesn't matter what the weight is. Or you could be potter for a very heavy thing. It doesn't matter what the weight is. It's completely meaningless to say achay Noseh et Atzmo. Is it because it's a getter of shnayim she'asa'u? I mean, certainly, this is a case of Zeh Yachol v'Zeh No Yachol, right? I mean, he can't carry himself. That would be quite a trick. You know, you got to be from India in order to do that. But usually people can't lift themselves off the ground. So you're going to certainly need the person who's carrying him in order to be mechayev of him. So what would be the possible reason for saying such a thing? So Tosis has a fascinating idea. Tosis' idea is, look, the fact is that we pattern all of our dinim on the Mishkan, right? So what is considered to be hotza'ah? Now, it doesn't matter. If we had established that all things, you're going to be chayev on hotza'ah, fine. But the fact is that if you note a pattern in the Mishkan, and the pattern in the Mishkan is nothing live was ever carried. So now, if it wouldn't be that I would be able to tell you why there should be a difference between live things and not live things, that would be irrelevant. You could say, nobody ever carried an iPad in the Mishkan, so therefore you should be put on iPads. Obviously, not that. That's not the point. The point is a set of things that you would carry. So therefore, Tosfos says, because we have a very clear-cut difference in the entire relationship of the object being carried to the person who's carrying it, when it comes to a living being, to the one who's noso, because of that, it may not be called carrying if we don't have a marker for it in the Mishkan. And so if we look to the Mishkan and we see, is this type of thing considered to be carrying? And we don't find any indication that it is, we won't be able to chayev them. And therefore, achay noseh et atzmo is not coming to tell me why the chay would not be included under the general rubric carrying. It's coming to tell me why it may not be part of the definition of the type of carrying that's in the Mishkan, which is, I hope I'm bringing it out well, because it's a beautiful point that Tosfos makes. And it's fundamental to understanding more deeply the inyan of the Melachos of Shabbos. Yeah, was this clear, or does it bear more good? Okay, even Reb Barnea says it's clear. If he's not bothering me, it ought to be good, because he's the ultimate commander. Clear. What's not clear?
Rebbe's voice is not clear.
This is what happens with old age, Barnea. Nothing to do about it.
How about sucking candies?
Sucking candy. Yeah. Yeah, no. Unfortunately, it's something to do with the vocal cords. It's not. I'm so sorry.
Let me voice Mazel Tov.
Thank you. I used to be able to speak, you know, like the Gemara says. Hayobi.
Based on Rabbi's Yom Kippur performance, I disagree with that, but I'm not fully followed. Yeah.
Yom Kippur davenings are not coming from me, so therefore they're not a
raya.
They're not a raya.
Still working
Yeah, but that could even be better than this, but I don't know for a normal daf yomi. No, really, seriously, I have no idea where that Yom Kippur davening comes from. I might start off completely hoarse and unable to even say a word. So it's just sort of magic. Okay, so you're not happy, but you're never happy. So I don't know. I mean, from Barnea represents some type of middle path. Okay, we got two people who want to repeat. All right, so let me. It bears repeating because it's such a beautiful idea. Tosfos is saying, if carrying were defined simply by the way people call carrying, and we would know that carrying, the Torah had somewhere said that carrying is a malacha. So then it would be ridiculous to try to be machalic between carrying something alive and carrying something dead. What the heck is the difference? You're transporting weight of any type of weight. So how much it weighs, the fact that it may be a little bit easier and to you, it's as if you're carrying something lighter than it really is. Who cares? And the fact that there's someone else that's aiding you in the carrying, who cares? The person can't lift himself. And therefore, it's a zeyachol, the zeynoyachol. He needs you to carry him. So whether he would be balancing himself or not balancing himself, you are doing the carrying. Why in the world would you not be chayv? So what Tosis explains is this very important yesod of Hilchos Shabbos. And that is the Torah never asserted carrying. The Torah asserted doing on Shabbos what is defined as a malacha by virtue of the fact that we found it being done in the Mishkan. For you to say that since in the Mishkan things were carried from place to place, therefore what I call carrying is the definition of the malacha, is not so. It would have to be carrying the way it occurs in the Mishkan. Now, if I would not have found anything that differentiated carrying a live thing from a dead thing, then that would be silly, because obviously we're not going to go to a one-to-one relationship of the objects carried in the Mishkan and saying only those things you're chayav on. That would violate the whole idea of the concept of a malacha. We don't look to the exact thing. If in the Mishkan they didn't have iPads, I wouldn't say I'm potter on carrying iPads, right? So therefore, we need to say that there may be a different concept than is included in the English word carrying that is insufficiently subtle to describe the interrelationship between a load and the person who is bearing the load. And there may be a completely different type of relationship, which is more sophisticated than just a simple analysis of weight and weight bearer. And what might that be? That might be that if a load is active and it is engaged in its own determinants of how it will balance itself on he who is carrying the load, such a thing never occurred in the Mishkan and is clearly not the same type of thing as carrying a dead weight. In English, we also differentiate between dead weight and live weight, but there's no separate word for it. So it could be that the malacha of carrying is defined as carrying dead weight, by definition.
Why would it be pater totally rather than just like a toledo?
Okay, I don't think I can explain it any better. Okay, continues the Mishnah. So therefore, if you're carrying out a bed which is dead weight, you're still pater on the bed, because the dead weight bed is now considered to be tafel to the live weight individual who's in the bed. On the other hand, if you would carry out a dead body and you would carry it out in the mita, etamed b'mita, so then you would be chayev. As a matter of fact, even if you would carry out a kizayit min hamet, because if you're taking a kizayit min hamet out of the house, then you are taking tuma out of the house, and that itself, even a kizayit, is meaningful to you to get the tumah out. Now, obviously, this would only be considered to be a malacha if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha sheina tzricha legufa, your chayev alav, because you don't need the kizayit bin hamet, but you want the kizayit bin hamet outside of the house. Kizayit bin hanevela, also, you want to get the tumah out of your house. Or you take out a ki'adash, even a tiny little bit of a sheretz, is also taking tumah out of the house. In all of these cases, you would be chayev because of malacha, she'ena tzricha legufa chayev alav. However, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Malacha Shana Tzricha Lagufa Potter, so Rabbi Shimon Potter. Tana Rabbana, suppose you take out enough food that you would be chayav on the food in a kli. So hamotzi ochlin kishiur, in the kli, you put it in a bowl. So then you're chayav on the ochlin and you're potter on the kli. Now we'll see what difference that would make. The im haya kli tzarichlo, if he has a separate need for the kli in the location where he is, so then he would be chayav on the kli as well. What is that supposed to mean, chayav on the kli as well? Why is that any different than eating two kezeisim of chalev instead of one kezeis of chalev? This is absolutely shocking, right? Because, I mean, even if I would take out two different things, and it would be b'halama achat, if I forgot it was Shabbos, or I forgot that it's usher to do this, I'd still only be chayev once. So what would the Gemara possibly mean by saying you're chayev af al hakli? The Gemara is going to obviously ask that. And therefore, says the Gemara, now wait a minute. If you're saying that, so then you're telling me, Shmamina, that in a case if you were eating two kezeisim of chalev, all be'elam echad, you would be chayev two separate chiyuvim of achatas? I mean, there is a shita like that. The Gemara considers that maybe Sumchus holds that. We never actually concluded that, because we couldn't bring a clear raya. But here we seem to have a mimer in which the Brisa is saying you're chayev separately. Who would be the author of this mimer? It must be that indeed somebody, and the only person we know that we thought maybe holds that is Sumchus, somebody seems to hold that indeed you'd be chayev for eating two separate kezeisim. Wow. On Rav Sheshes, no, not necessarily. We may be talking about two completely different chiyuvim. For instance, suppose the guy was shagag ala ochlin veizid ala kli. So basically, the guy didn't realize that he would be chayev on a shear of ochlin of this size. And the kli, he did on purpose, even though he knew it was osur. So therefore, we're talking about a chiyuv chatas on the ochlin. And we're talking about a separate chiyuv, which would be a chiyuv misa, a chiyuv skila, on the kli. Now, this is a very, very problematic answer, because remember that you're not chayev achatas unless you would be shav miyediato, that if you had known, you wouldn't have done it. That's why we say, no hodalo achatato, meaning that, well, oh my God, I sinned. But if you would have done it on purpose, then the shogeg has no meaning to be mechayev achatas. Okay, all kinds of answers, but in any event, the Gemara is docha this directly. Matki floravashi, that's not the case, because what it said in the Braita over here is that he's chayev af alakli. Af alakli means the same chayev that you would have on the ochlin, you have on the kli. And therefore, that's not the answer. So we do seem to have a raya that, indeed, you would be chayev for eating two kezeisim, even though it's be'elam echad. Elam ervashi is no problem. It could be talking about that both of them were a shogeg. And remember, we had before the shaila of suppose somebody finds out about one thing that he does, and then he finds out about the other thing that he did, which was all be'elam echad. So over there we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether yidiot or mechalkot afterwards. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would be chayev separately. And therefore, if I find out about the ochlin, and I now set aside my chatas, and then I find out about the kli. So therefore, it's important for me to know that you're chayev separately ala kli because of the nodalo. Now Rashi, for some reason, says that actually, this is the reason that Rav Sheshes didn't want to say that pshat, even though it's so obvious, because Rav Sheshes holds like Reish Lakish. And that would mean that even if I found out about it separately, I would still be able to be yotze with a single korban chatas. That is problematic. It's problematic because remember, as we learned before, Tosfos asked this kasha on Rashi, And therefore, he says, that can't be the reason. Because even according to Reish Lakish, that would only be where you didn't actually bring the carbon, remember? But if you actually, according to one pshat, you set aside the carbon already, and certainly if you already mechaper, even Reish Lakish is moda, that a separate yediyah would be mechay of you, a separate chata. So why wouldn't Rav Sheshes have been willing to say that that's what we're talking about? I need to establish that there would be two separate chiyuvim in that case. Okay. We don't know what the machlokas is, according to Tosfos. Et achai b'mita patur af amita. Now, this seems to be saying clearly like Rabbi Nassan, because Rabbi Nassan, and if it's only like Rabbi Nassan, it's really unusual that we would have a Mishnah not like the Rabbana d'Tanya. Hamotzi b'ma chayava oflo shut harabim, somebody who carries an animal or a bird into shut harabim, whether dead or alive, he would be chayav on Shabbos. Rabbi Nassan says, no, ala shrutini would be chayev, but on a live animal, he's potter, because a chay nosei et atzmo. Now, that seems to say that we only say a chay nosei et atzmo according to Rabbi Nassan. And yet the Mishnah is saying that if you carried out a chay in a mitah, you would be potter. Stomach Rabbi Nassan. The Rabbanan disagree. No, says the Gemara. In this case, says Rava, even the Rabbanan would agree. The only machlokas that the Rabbanan had with Rabbi Nassan was the case where you were carrying out an animal or a bird. And that's because the animal and the bird are not cooperative in the act of carrying. On the contrary, they're doing their best to get away from you. And therefore, they are dead weight. They're even worse than dead weight, one could say, because they're struggling to escape and they're pressing down and trying to go. So because of that, they would be included, even Aliba. Everybody would agree that they would be included, perhaps. So there, Shaine Behema Chayev of the Misharbate Nafshayu. So that's why the Rabbanan argue. But when it comes to the Adam, an Adam clearly is cooperative and a Chay is not say at that smo. Everybody would agree, even the Rabbanan would agree that that's okay. Omerle Ravada Baravala Rava Vahaditzan. Well, how about the question about whether you are allowed to sell a horse to a goy? Now, we have a whole question over there of the Gezerah that in the event that you would lend a horse to a goy, and the goy would be using it on Shabbos, or even if you're selling, and you would be giving him a trial period and would be Erev Shabbos, and then he would be using the horse that belongs to the Jew. So everybody agrees that you can't sell him a large animal that would be used for, let's say, plowing a field. Ben Betera says you can, however, do that with a horse. Why is that? Because if the guy would be doing a malacha on Shabbos that the animal was usur, like plowing a field or like carrying with a camel, carrying a load to market, then enochinami, you would be over on a diaraisa if the guy was working your animal. But a horse, since it's usually used to carry a human rider, you wouldn't anyway be chayav midiraisa on Shabbos. And therefore, if the goy would have done it, the Rabbanan didn't answer it. Because it wouldn't be really awesome in Yeraisa. Why? Because the Chayno say at that smoke, precisely. And therefore, when Rabbi Ben Batera said, you're allowed to do it with a horse, and that would be, as Ben Batera explained his position on the Mishnah and Abraita, he explained it, that the reason I matter besus is because what the sus will normally do, which is carrying a human, you wouldn't be chayev on for Shabbos anyway. And Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Batera and Rabbi Nassan are saying the same thing, because Ben Batera is saying that achai no se atatzmo, and Rabbi Nassan is saying that achai no se atatzmo. But if you are right, then that's a terrible thing to say, because you're claiming that when it comes to a human, everybody is mighty that achai no se atatzmo. So why in the world would Rabbi Yochanan have said that Ben Batera must agree with Rabbi Nassan if you're claiming now that our Mishnah agrees even with the Rabbanan? So therefore, Iyamet Elo Polig Rabbanan Alei Rabbi Nassan Ela Bivheim Achayava Ov Mishum De Misharbet Enafshayu, because of the fact that they struggle or stiffen themselves. Misharbeti actually probably comes from the word sharbit, right? To stiffen yourself so that you're not balancing yourself. So then why would you say Ben Bezerah agrees with Rabbi Nassan? Even the Rabbanan would have agreed to this, because you're saying that a chai, if it's an adam, would be noisin et atzma. Answers the Gemara, because of the fact that some horses are used for carrying live birds, and Ben Batera is matir all horses, so Rabbi Yochanan said that only works if he agrees with Rabbi Nassim, because according to the Rabbanan, we wouldn't be matir for a horse that carries a bird. What? There's such a thing as a horse that carries a bird? Yes, the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a sus miyuchad la'ofot. Miyika sus miyuchad la'ofot. Whoever heard? What are we talking about, man? A circus horse? So you got a penguin on the back of the horse or something? That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. Because ikada beviyadan. We have all of these hunters, right? So they're falconers. Or they use hawks. So always when you're going out hunting with your bird, you always will let the bird sit on your motorcycle, right? So you would also let the bird sit on your horse because you don't want the bird flying along and using up all of its energy to keep up with your motorcycle. So because of that, you perch the bird on the motorcycle. Now, the bird's very happy to be sitting on the motorcycle, looking around, having a ball flying through the air, right? And he certainly is not feeling in any way constrained. And therefore, if he were on the horse, then that horse would be carrying a live bird. But that raises questions. Because, I mean, if that would be the case, so then we're talking about Bevi Adan, and then that would be basically the same case, no? Ika de Bevi Adan. So, okay, so then if there's Bevi Adan, then that would be a horse that would not be Meshavrete Nafshayu. So therefore, the Rabbanan, who argue, and they say it's only a din in a human, in this case would say, even though the chai is not going to be Meshavrete Nafshayu, but in general, we aser all chai. So then the only one that works out is according to Rabbi Nosson, because Rabbi Nosson says, you can rely on an animal also being Noisei et Atzma. The Rabbanan disagree. Okay, so then this works out only according to Rabbi Nosson. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nosson would be made if you would tie up a human, that then he would be the same as carrying a dead weight, because now he can't balance himself. Omer le Rav Ada bar Matna la Abaye. Well, take a look at these Persians, right? Now these Persians, the way they ride, they might as well be tied up, okay? Because first of all, the kind of clothes they wear, they can barely move. And they're trained to ride as if they are like metal soldiers. And that's the whole way that they parade around. So then the Persians also would be the equivalent of carrying around dead weight. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan said Ben Matera and Rabbi Nosson were saying the same thing. But if Rabbi Nosson is moda, that if somebody's tied up, then how could you sell to a goy if he's a Persian? And you're being matir selling to anybody. And these guys can't even move. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. They can move very, very well. They're just so stuck up that they look like they can't move. And you'd swear if you put them on the ground, they would simply topple over, because you'd never get somebody like that to be able to move their little feet. But I can tell you, man, I once saw a guy that was working for the government and the police got after him. That guy ran 3 kilometers straight without stopping, even though he looked like a wind-up toy, okay? So they can run very, very well. Let me tell you something. It's just Ramot Rucho de Nakitlu. I saw a guy that was a Pashdacha that the Melech got angry at, and he ran... No, it's 12 kilometers, actually. Tlata Parse, Bikari, barefoot. So they can run when they need to run. And that's even without Nike. Et ha-meit b'mita chayav, v'chen ki zayit min ha-meit, and so on. Omer Rabba Bar Bachan, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Yosef, Omer Shlokish. You should know that when Rabbi Shimon says that you'd be potter because of the fact that we're talking about a malocha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, actually, he would potter even if you would be taking out the mace to bury the mace. Wow. Okay. What's the chiddush in that? Chiddush in that is this. We are not absolutely clear yet about the meaning of Malacha Shein Hatzricha Legufa. Because remember that the concept of the Malacha will always have two elements that you need to consider. One of them is the purpose that you, the doer of the Malacha, has in doing the Malacha. And it has to be, we're saying, something that is constructive. So according to Rashi's Pshat, getting something out of the way that you wish wouldn't have been there in the first place is not constructive. It's just restoring what should have been the normal matzav. So taking a mace out of the house is not constructive. I certainly would prefer that he wouldn't have died in the first place. Fine. But then there's another element. Every malacha also has an impact on the object that the malacha is being done to. Not so? As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that we're so confused about hotzah. Why is it a malacha? And that's what's miyached, actually, hotzah. I haven't done anything to the object. What I do to the object, normally in a hotzah, is only changing its coordinates, which has meaning to me, not to the object. Because the coordinates generally are a function of consciousness, and the object couldn't care less where it is. Ah, what happens where there is an element of tikkun for the object? So now, I'm taking out the mate. It is definitely constructive for the object, in this case the corpse, to be buried. So would we consider a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, libid Rebbe Shimon, to be putter, even where it does serve the purposes of the object, although it doesn't serve constructive purposes in the performer? So now, along with the other issues that we've been raising, as we go deeper and deeper into the sugyas, and this is the way the Gemara generally will do things, we noted so much complexity and subtlety in issues that we took so much for granted at the beginning, and it turns out that we can tease apart so many different things, we finally get to this fundamental question of what exactly do we mean. And Tosis points out that this machlokas over here in the Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon, where we're assuming that the one who argues with him, since it's always Rabbi Yehuda, even though it doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda. This is actually the mocker of the entire Gemaras all over the place that say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayav in a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're punter. It's based on this Mishnah. And therefore, this is the place where we get into the question of what the relationship would be with the object. So what we're saying over here now is that actually, even if your intent was to really to bury it, nonetheless, it would still be a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa because you, the doer of the malacha, are not doing something le'tikun. Oh, my Rava. However, says Rava, in the case where, let's say you're taking out a hoe. Now, you need the hoe in order to dig with the hoe. And you take out a Sefer Torah. You take out the Sefer Torah because, remember, you're not allowed to have your minyan indoors. You have to have your minyan outdoors. And therefore, you're schlepping your Sefer Torah out to the adjacent Rishus HaRabim. So if you did that in order to be kire, you would be chayev. Obviously, you would be chayev. Isn't that? I'm doing it because I need it. Isn't that like the whole meaning of a malacha she'tzricha legufa? Pshita. I mean, for God's sake, if that's not a malacha, if you're going to call this a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, then what the heck is a malacha that is tzricha legufa? Then Rabbi Shimon would never be mechayev on any malacha if you're claiming that this is also a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Only an idiot would need to teach that this is included in a malacha. Not true. Amazingly, not true. Because I might have thought that when we potter a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, it would be pottering it based on either event. If either the object upon which the malacha is done is not constructive for the object, or the malacha is not constructive for the person who's doing it, either of those elements alone would be sufficient to make it a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. In which case, if I carried something out because I need to do the laning in Rishus HaRabim, what good is that for the Sefer Torah? It's useless for the Sefer Torah. If I'm carrying out a hoe, because I need the hoe in Rosh Hashanah, what good is that for the hoe? The hoe is perfectly happy to be at rest in the barn. So maybe that's called a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. And what would be the only case that would be a malacha she'tzricha legufa? So ma'o detema, I might have thought that the definition of malacha tzricha legufa is ad de'ika legufo u'legufa. I would need it both for me, myself, and for the sake of the object. For example, I want to carry out a hoe, but I'm going to be using this hoe to be hoeing, but in order for me to do hoeing, I'm going to have to straighten the blade, okay? So put on a new blade. So I carry out this mar in order lasot lotas, and then to use it for chafira. I want to read the Sefer Torah to be yotze the kriya, but I also want to check it to see if it has any mistakes, because there's a sofer who's coming after Shabbos, so I want to make sure that this parsha is clear. Oh, so now we're doing something both for myself and for the object. Maybe that is the only way in which we would call something a malacha tzricha legufa. And therefore, says Rava, I'm telling you something very important, that you don't need it to be either way. And in fact, according to Rabbi Shimon, we only consider from malacha tzricha legufa the use of the one who is doing the malacha. Wow. At least when it comes to this issue of hotzah. And of course, hotzah suggests that by its very nature in general. There was once a mace that was in the town of Drokra, and the body was lying in the sun, or it was making an unpleasant smell, whatever it was. And Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that they could move the body out of a Rishus HaYochid into a Carmelite. Now, this has nothing to do with the Muktzah issue. However the Muktzah was handled, they put a tinok on the body or bread on the body, whatever we said before. Here we're talking about the question of carrying it out into another Rishus. So, Omer Reb Yochanan, Achud Amar Bered Rebanel, Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So, they ganged up on him and they said to him, wait a minute. How could you be matir carrying on Shabbos? You only could be matir, this according to Rabbi Shimon, no? Who said in the Mishnah that if you carry it, so then you would be potter. Oh, that's a big mistake. I mean, Rabbi Shimon only said you're potter. He never said you're mutter. I mean, emer de potter, Rabbi Shimon, emichi of chattas. He certainly agrees that it's an issur d'rabbanan, and you allowed these guys to just go out and carry it. Said to Reb Nachman, oh my God, what is wrong with you, man? You would have done this yourself. Dayalik Beyat, go ahead, you do it yourself. Even if it was Rabbi Yehuda. And I wasn't going like Rabbi Shimon, I would still say it's mutter. Because afilo the Rabbi Yehuda, in this case it was mutter, then I say he can carry to Rosh Hashanah. I never said that. I said that he could carry it to a Carmelite. So you're saying, but you're not allowed to carry it to a Carmelite. Great, you're not allowed to carry a Carmelite. That's true. But remember the general halacha. Gadol kevod abriot, shedochet lota seshabat Torah. Remember we learned before from the idea that the Torah says that you're lotuchale hitalein, but vitalamta. If it's shalolafi kvodo, then you don't return the aveda. You don't pick up that aveda. So from there we also learn that the Rabbanan, where there's a mitzvah of lotasur, so lotasur ben adavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol. And in this case, since it was covered, Abrius, the Rabbanan said, we're not going to aser something that is going to chas v'chalila make a mace be in a position of bizoyan or make people be mevuzim by being around a bad-smelling mace. Okay, getting back now to the Mishnah. So we said, even a kizayit ben hamet would be taking out tuma, and therefore, because of the tuma, it's considered to be choshev. Now, tanan hatam, it turns out that in Negoyim, again, we have this issue, because remember, it says in the Torah, hishomer benega hatzarat. Hishomer benega hatzarat means, do not do anything that would destroy a simen of tzarat that would make it impossible for the Kohen to be metami. Therefore, as it says in the Mishnah in Negoyim, if somebody takes off, he plucks out a simen of tuma. So he takes out one of, let's say, a sa'ar that turned white from a nega. Or he has a michva in the nega, which is clear skin, and that would be a cement tumah. So he goes and he is michvet ha-michya. So he burns the michya so that it's no longer a michya. In this case, he would be over on a lotase of yishamer. Kol yishamer is loshen lotasehu. Now, it says on this halacha that if you pluck out one hair where there were two hairs, the shear is two hairs to be a simituma in a nega, that you would be chayev. But if there were three hairs and you took out only one hair, so then Reb Nachman Amar Chayav and Reb Sheshes Amar Patur. Reb Nachman says you're chayev because if you take out one out of two, so then you're going to clearly be destroying the siman tuma. But even if you take out one out of three, what you now have done is you've made this nega right on the edge so that if anything else changes, it is going to be no longer tame, correct? That itself is considered to be choshev, even though currently it hasn't changed the situation. However, the next thing that happens, another hair falls out, it's going to not be tame. And therefore, he is a hani ma'asav. If another one comes off, the tumah is kaput. Rav Sheshes says, no, who cares about what might be? Currently, hashtamiyata yita tumah. And I'll prove it from our Mishnah, says Rav Sheshes. Look at our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, if you take a kizayit min ha-meit, or kizayit min ha-nevela, so then you would be chayef. Now, what does that mean? That if you took a chatzi zayit from a meit, you would be potter. How do you explain the fact that there's a braita that says that even if you take out a chatzi zayit, that you would be chayef? Explain that to me. So must be, I mean, the only way that a braita on a Mishnah could say the opposite of the Mishnah is that we're talking about two different cases. And the case that says chayev in the braita is talking about where you had a kezayis and you take out a half a zayis from that zayis, you'd be chayev even on that. Why? Because you made it currently incapable of tumah. Fine. Whereas the Mishnah that says that you'd be potter unless you took off an entire zayit, it was trying to speak of a case. And this is why the Braita does it in this way, by going out of its way to contradict the Mishnah. So you could figure out that we're talking about two cases that are very similar. And therefore, the Mishnah must be coming to tell me that where you took out a chatzi zayit, but you left a zayit behind. So you had a kezayit and a half, and you took off the half. Now, according to you, says Reb Sheshes, according to you, Reb Nachman, that would be chayev. But the whole point is that the Mishnah is saying that you would be potter. We will never get a case like that where just carrying a chatzi zayit will make the difference. Do you see that if it doesn't make a change now, it's not important? Reb Nachman would say, I don't know why you say that. I mean, in both cases, actually, you could say that you would be chayev, whether it's from a kizayit, you take out a chatzi zayit, which I agree with you, certainly chayev in the braita. And I say, even if it were a kizayit v'chetzi, bidiyuk, yes, bidiyuk, that you would be chayev if you took out the chatzi zayit. Why? Because any slight change now will make the difference. But you don't need to be talking about a case where it's bidiyuk in order to say it's potter. There you would be chayev, according to me. But when it says that you're potter in the Mishnah, it's talking about taking out a chatzi zayit, period. Not a chatzi zayit from a zayit v'chetzi. Taking out a chatzi zayit may be from a whole body, where there may be 100 zayisim. And there, it's not going to make any difference, because even I was saying, only where we get right up to the edge, you certainly have not gotten right up to the edge in that case. And now comes along our capitan to get us moving along. Hanotel tziporav zo bezo. Now, we're going to move on to discuss what then would be considered to be a tolada. Because, I mean, we've talked about things that sure seem like they ought to be toladot. I mean, the case of carrying a live body versus a dead body, which the whole point that Tosis is making, is that we have to distinguish that from, and this was Moshe's question before, why isn't it a tolada? Right? And that was the point that Tosfos is making, that the Mishnah is coming to distinguish the similarity levels between a non-malacha versus a tolada of the malacha. So let's take similar cases. A person pulls off a fingernail using the edge of another fingernail, or he bites off a fingernail, or he does this to his hair. Let's say he bites a hair from his head. You know, some people have a habit of biting their hair, or sifamo, or zikano. So he could use his fingernail to cut a piece of hair on his mustache, on his beard, or a woman who braids her hair, or maybe she paints her eyes, or maybe she's pokeset. What exactly pokeset is not clear. According to Rashi, pokeset, we spoke about this earlier in the Masechet, pokeset would mean she uses a comb to create a part, a permanent part in her hair that she holds in place with the comb. Tosfos Tainus over there, what's wrong with that? Or the other pshat may be pokeset is that she uses this mud pack to redden her skin. Rabbi Eliezer is mechayev in all of those cases. The Chachomim say, no, it's a tolda. It's not really a tolda. It's similar, and therefore they answer it mishum shvut. So now we've got actually four different levels. Malacha, a me'ena malacha, a tolda, an osur mishum shvus, and then we have something that is bichlal not included, which is the ben betera matir besus. Omar Rabbi Elazar. The machlokis in our Mishnah is only talking about where you used your fingernail to cut off a fingernail. But if you would use a scissor to cut off a fingernail, you would be chayev. Well, it's more obviously. I mean, the whole point of the Mishnah, isn't it? That you use the fingernail. It says zo bizo. Ah, I might have thought the reason it says bizo bizo is not because you'd be chayev if you used a nail clipper. It may be that according to the Rabbonin, you would be putter even if you used a nail clipper, because they may hold, that's what I would have thought, that they may hold that giza has to be similar to the giza of wool from an animal, where over there, the wool is useful to you as wool. But if you're cutting off a fingernail, isn't that similar to taking a mace out of a house? And therefore, there would be no iser of giza on such a thing. Therefore, I'm telling you a big chiddush that actually, if it would have been in the Mishnah, I would have said, you know why it says zo bezo? That's to tell me that Rabbi Eliezer goes so far as to say that any type of giza, even not using a scissors, is going to be chayev. But the Rabbanan would hold that even with the scissors, it would be potter. Kamash Balan says Rabbi Elazar, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, we're talking about Rabbi Elazar here, says Rabbi Elazar, no, the Rabbanan are moda. If you use a nail clipper, you would be chayev, and that giza is not limited to wool. Furthermore, said Rabbi Elazar, the only machlokas over here is where you pull off your own fingernail. In that case, it is considered to be a normal way of removing a nail. But if you help someone else to remove a hanging nail, let's say, that he needs help to get off, you don't have his scissors, and you use your fingernail to pull off his, that's definitely not normal. And that is potter. Well, obviously, it says in the Mishnah, tzipor nav, his nails, one on the other. So why do I need Rabbi Elazar to tell me that? Ah, because Ma'od HaTeim, if Rabbi Elazar hadn't told me that, I would have said that maybe Rabbi Eliezer, who is so machmir on this Inyan of Giza, he would say you would be chayev even for somebody else. The Chiddush over here is that the Rabbanan, who are makbid on the normal way, would agree that if it was on your own fingernail, that would be normal, and they would be mita that you would be chayev. Kamash malan. Therefore, we need to know that that's not the case, and that actually even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that it is not normal to use your fingernails to remove someone else's nail. V'chein sa'aro, Tana. What is the shear of removing hair? Hanoto melo pi hazog chayav. A scissors tip. Well, what does that mean, a scissors tip? Revirishtayim, two hairs. That can't be, says the Gemara, because that same bright that continues, and it says, ulekoracha, As far as the issue of lotasimu korachah b'neilechem al hamet, so it's usur to tear hair on someone who died, the shear of that is shtayim. Mashma that the previously mentioned shear of malo piazug is not shtayim. No, you could say that what the Braita means is ulakaracha, meaning the chen lakaracha, to make a bald spot, it would be a bald spot of two hairs. Tanya namiyachi. Actually, we have a Braita that backs up Reb Yudah's contention that malo piazug is shtayim. Because it says in the Braita, no to malo piazug b'shabbat chayav, and then it speaks out. V'kama malo piazug, what does that consist of? Shtayim. Reb Eliezer says, even one hair, achat. And Reb Eliezer, his shita, the Rabbanan would be made in a case where one hair is choshev. Where would one hair be choshev? If a guy has one white hair and he wants to look young, that if he takes out that one white hair, then he would be chayev. So there we agree. Modim chachamim l'Reb Eliezer, b'malaket levanot mitoch shechorot, when you take out white hairs that are mixed among dark hairs over there, you're chayev even for removing one white hair. And forget about doing that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that even during the week. Because what kind of fruitcake are you who needs to get rid of one hair? You can't look like a guy that's got white hairs? I don't understand. What are you, a girl? I understand it. If you're a girl, yeah, it's very important not to have a white hair. But for a guy to remove a white hair, that would be an Isser D'Oraisa, because you would be over on Lo Yilbash Gever Simlat Isha. Activities that are only done by women are usser for men. And therefore, doing this would be dressing like a woman, essentially. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, another halacha that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught about nails was that in a case where most of a nail is already off, and now it's a hangnail and it's killing you, or a tzitzin, if it's a literal hangnail, which is a cuticle that is partially cut away from the skin around the nail, and it hurts, and it's mostly detached. So the din is you'd be allowed to remove them with your hand, but with a kli, you'd be chayev chatas. What? Says the Gemara, there's no such thing. Where do we ever find that something that if done with a kli is a chayev chatas, that we're mater lechatchila to do with your hand? There's no case like that. Of course the Rabbonin would have asked doing something that could easily have led you to be over on a chayev chatas. Ah, but the Braita, you have to change it. The Braita means like this. Pirshu ruban. If the cuticle was mostly detached, or the fingernail was mostly detached, biyad mutar, you'd be allowed lechatchila to take it off with your hand, and you would be not allowed to use a pair of scissors or a nail clipper, but you wouldn't be chayev. It would be patur, because it's mostly detached. You'd be patur. However, because of its similarity to a regular act of cutting a fingernail, so the rabbanan answered it, so it would be osur min rabbanan. In a case where lo pirshu rabban, if most of them was detached, then enochinami, you would not be allowed to do it even by hand. And you wouldn't be chayev if you did, but it would be usser. Because over there, if you did it bekli, indeed you would even be chayev achatas. Omer of Yehuda, halachak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that you are allowed even lechatchila to use a hand to remove a fingernail that is mostly off. Or, for that matter, to remove a cuticle. Amar Abba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it depends what direction the skin is tearing in. Hu shepiresh klape mala, this is only if it's going near the top of the finger, and therefore they're causing you a lot of pain. Umitzaarototo. But if they didn't, then the Rabbanim were not matirat. Now, the big problem with this is that there's a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, about what klape mala means in this context. You'll note that normally klape mala means towards the body, not towards the outside of the body. And therefore, it would mean that it would be going towards your knuckles, right? which is actually normally the way that these things happen. It starts to tear. It gets very painful as it gets closer to the nail bed. Problem is that Rashi learns klapimala means going back towards your fingertips. And because of that, Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, no, that's not the case. But it's because in this case, it started tearing around the nail, and now it's tearing upwards, and that's very painful. That's where they were matir. This is how Rashi learns. Because of this machlokas, we're stuck. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to be machmir both ways, because then therefore you can't tear it off either way. So you're stuck with a cuticle, and you better have a Band-Aid or something, because there's no Eitza about that on Shabbos. All right, so it doesn't help that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, at least not in terms of the cuticle, but it still helps in terms of the nail. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, everybody, so another fascinating day. Kol Tov, Jeff. We should hear Pesurot Tovot. Gavi, I was very sad today that you're obviously out of Boost. This is a serious issue. I saw you drinking clear liquid, and I don't know, that could be begetter sakana to people who live off a Boost. What are we going to do? Well, first we can let everybody go, and then we can, anybody who needs to go can go. And then you can ask a question. Sure.
So, just for everybody, I posted the link of falconers who have a place on their saddle to carry the birds of prey. That's the link in the chat.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. That's lovely. There was also a beautiful picture yesterday from Alon of a woman from Hutzal. I don't know if you noticed it, but it was a beautiful picture of Hutzal and, I don't know. She didn't look particularly nutty to me. But anyway, there we've got it carrying a basket. Look, Ma, no hands.
That's why I posted it throughout.
I know. No, I know. No, I wasn't. I wasn't complaining about your post. I was complaining about the conversation around the post.
But what I was wondering is that it's not your 7 o'clock.
No, it's not. It's not.
World,
yeah, so it may be. It may be that this is one of those things that are social variables in Eino Chinami. If this becomes the Derech, then this becomes the Derech. So, you know. Yeah. Okay, yes. What was the question someone wanted to ask?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I didn't understand Havamina on saying,
We would have use the short term gufa in terms of the malacha. But what defines the malacha as being in Yitzchak, the gufa shal malacha? Is the malacha seen in terms of the person, or is malacha seen in terms of the object? Or is malacha seen in terms of both? So the malacha in Yitzchak, the gufa, is not referring either to gufa or gufa. It's referring to the gufa of the malacha per se. There's three different uses of the word over here.
Okay. Yeah. That's helpful. And then the other question has, in the mission we say it's a chai b'mita punter. I assume it's punter over lesser. But I ask that because don't people look at this Mishnah as a reason why you can carry kids or should say rubbing without an eruv?
Yeah, we'll discuss that. The question is, Tosfos actually raises the question here about whether kids are cooperative in being carried. Particularly, there's a question of if they can't walk. So is balance a function of their own ability to walk? And if they themselves can't balance themselves in walking, then maybe they not considered to be no seas atzmo either. So it would be very much then already dependent on the question of is this child cooperative or is he trying to get away? In which case it would be the same thing as a bal chai that would be tafus. But it's good you brought it up. We can actually deal with that, and we got to get back to our halacha conversations. So this may be a good thing to bring up.